for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
So, it's week 5 in our Grow series, of which we made t-shirts and hoodies. And many of you have asked us, well, can I get some of that stuff? Well, I want to tell you, I got 2 t-shirts right here that I'm going to give out right now. And soon, these will be available for your purchase at cost. It's in production right now, so you will be able to buy a t-shirt or a hoodie that says The River Grow. It is week 5. I'm just going to throw it out that way, and I'm going to throw it out back towards that way. It's not going to hurt you. It's okay. Sorry, Kellen. That's all I got. It's week 5 in our series on Grow, where we've asked you to grow in owning your own growth. Grow in owning your own growth. Where if you find yourself to be, in our metaphor, a seed in your faith, well, work and move to become a root. And if you find yourself like a root in your faith, we've encouraged you to become a tree. And if you're a tree, we've encouraged you to grow even as a larger, more impactful tree. Now, to help us get at that, I want to tell you what Jesus said. His second to last command he gave to his people was to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, for extra credit, nothing to do with today's teaching, anybody know what the last command Jesus gave his disciples? Second to last was go. Wait. Yeah, I love these contradictions in the Bible. Go, but wait. Go, wait. He said wait in the book of Acts right before he ascended because he didn't want them to go in their own power. He wanted them to wait on the power of the Spirit so that they could go in power. He said to go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, here's the deal. That is an assignment that we've been given. Point to your neighbor and say, you've been given that assignment. If you are a follower of Jesus, that second to last command from Jesus was given to you. Go and make disciples. Go and share the goodness of God's grace for his people. God is good. Jesus is phenomenal, and he's got freedom and blessings for people. And your task in this life is to go and share it with people. Now, here's the deal. You won't help other people grow unless you're growing yourself. Or in the vernacular of, you know, Matthew 19, you will not help people grow in discipleship unless you yourself are a disciple. And so the vision of the river all along in our 13 years history is that this place, we see this place being a place for anybody to belong. Say anybody. Just to belong. And out of belonging comes belief. I'm thinking of Peter. Now, you know, Peter was a stinky, messed up fisherman who never was given a chance in society to have larger impact. Just get to your place and fish and feed us with your fish, right? Kind of an outside, cast-off, kind of less-than person. But Jesus entered into Peter's life and gave him a place to belong. He gave him community. And out of the richness of the community, when somebody else would not have given him that, Peter grew up, and out of the belonging came believing. He belonged, and out of belonging, he believed that Jesus is who he said he was. And that's the vision of the river, that we would have a place for anybody to belong. You ain't dumb enough, stupid enough, wrong enough, undressed enough, well, you could be undressed enough, wrongly dressed enough to not belong here. This is a place for anybody to belong so that you could believe that Jesus is who he said he is, so that third B, you could become all God intended for you. Because when Jesus saw Peter fishing back in the Sea of Galilee, he said, fishing's good, but there's more for you. And I wonder if Jesus was quoting Mufasa. When Mufasa said to Simba, you are more than what you've become. And see, that's our goal. That's our vision at the river, that all of us would have a place to belong, provide a place to belong, that we might believe in Jesus. And in the believing, we would become all God intended us to be, because there's more in store for each and every one of us. Now, before I go any further, I got to tell you that vision is carried out by our 2 values. The 2 values, the foundational one. Does anybody know that foundational value? This is why I repeat myself. The foundational value is intimacy, right? Because we believe that Jesus came for a close relationship for all humans. He didn't come that we might be distant or fearful or just do religious things. Jesus came that we might be close to him. And so the teachings are garnered to pull you into closeness with Jesus. And out of that first value. The second value is mercy. You see, and we have to have intimacy first because if we try to do merciful things, if we try to do good works apart from intimacy with Jesus, we're doing nothing more than just religious practice. In fact, some would say we slander the name of Jesus by doing things for him without first knowing him. I'm going to say that again. It's been said that if we slander the name of Jesus, if we do things for him without first knowing him. And so our foundational value is intimacy, and the second value is mercy. And it's out of this mercy word that we get the pursuit of serving the lost, the least, and the lonely. Grow. And we want you to grow in owning your own growth. Intimacy, mercy, belong, believe, become. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to open the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. So if you have your iPhones, your iPads, or whatever, you want to scroll to it, now's your time to go to Daniel chapter 1. If you're old school and you got a Bible, I remember I said if you're old school and you got a Bible, somebody emailed me very angrily, it's not old school to have a Bible. Peace. If you're old school and have a Bible, bust it out, open it up to Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to look today at Daniel's process of growing and owning his own growth. Now, before we get to Daniel chapter 1, let me tell you what's going on in the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had been blessed by God. And whenever things are good, they have proven what is true throughout history, that when things go good and God has been blessing, human nature is to say, yeah, whatever, God, thank you. And we get complacent and we do our own things. This is what the Israelites had done. They had been blessed by God, but in the blessings, they decided to go their own way. And God says, fine, you want your own way, do it your own way. And when they did it their own way and walked away from God, things got bad. Bad in the sense that the nation of Babylon came in and took over Jerusalem. They sieged the city of Jerusalem for about 2 years. And over 2 years of waiting, the people were starving in the city. And finally, the walls broke down. The army snuck out at night. And the Babylonians captured Israel. They took the king. King Zedekiah was his name. And it was so bad. So the oppression of the Israelites was so bad. They took the king. This is horrible. That's a good thing. The kids are out if you got small children. PG-13, cover their ears. They made King Zedekiah watch while they slaughtered his whole family. This is biblical history right here. They plucked his eyes out, stripped him naked, and marched him in chains through the city of Babylon. Then they threw him in prison to rot and to live out the rest of his miserable days. This is the world that Daniel is living. Not only did they do that, the Babylonians attacked the center of Jerusalem, the holy place, the pride of the people, which was the temple where it had taken years to build this remarkable place of worship. They ransacked it, desecrated it, took all of the rich things that were once set apart to worship the Lord, and they took them away back to Babylon and used them in pagan idolatry and false god worship. Meanwhile, they killed thousands of Israelites and took roughly 4,600 or so of the best and the brightest in captivity back to Babylon. This is the world in which we meet Daniel. He was one of the 4,600 who was taken into captivity, living in worlds at conflict. Now, let me just connect a dot for you if you're zoning here, because we only had two worship songs to get you woken up and engaged. We too live in a world in conflict. Did you know this? And so like Daniel, you are similar because the world you live in is opposed to the ways of the Lord. And like Daniel, if you or I or any of us decide to go our own way, to say, God, we're going to do it, whenever we walk away from the ways of the Lord, the world wins and things ain't good. Now, my kids go to public school in Kalamazoo, and we were at a conference 2 weeks ago, Christy and I, and I'm just checking out, you know, Twitter, and I see WWMT News. It was one of those boring sessions, you know, I was just kind of zoning, so I was looking at Twitter. And while I'm in this conference, 10 hours away from my children, I see that the school they go to is on lockdown because there's a riot and a SWAT team is at their school. But I didn't need to share that story with you, did I? Because you know that your world is also under assault, like Daniel's world is under assault. We live in a world that's just set against God. Daniel chapter 1. Remember, he's with 4,600 captives taken into captivity. The king assigned them, that's these captives, a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, which is part of Israel. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. Have you heard that name before? To the name Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. That's Daniel 1, 5, 6, and 7. Spoiler alert! Daniel becomes the most powerful man in the land. He becomes the guy who is leading the king and influencing the king. And not just King Nebuchadnezzar. He goes on to influence two or three other kings. Spoiler alert. But right now in our story, he's a young captive who's been forced into slavery and forced to eat the things of the king. He's been taken from his homeland, and there he is, a miserable wretch, nothing familiar around him. How in the world does he go from that to one of the most powerful men in the world? Daniel's story doesn't begin with just Daniel. It begins with these three dudes whose names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, if you did not grow up in the church, this is a new thing for you, but many of you grew up in the church and have heard the story of the fiery furnace, right? It's later in the book of Daniel. And the fiery furnace is a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you have heard that story? Help me understand where I'm talking. How many of you knew that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were buddies with Daniel? Did you know that? See, many people didn't. That baby didn't know. See, we miss something when we read through the scriptures just quickly. Just Daniel and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The spoiler alert tells you that Daniel becomes something great and powerful, but his story begins in captivity and slavery. I'm telling you what led to the greatness and the fulfillment of promise was the fact that his life began in community. Or, in the vernacular of the river, he had a place to belong. You know, if chapter 1 simply read this way, you know, the king assigned daily amount of food for these people and some wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years. After that, they were into the king's service. And among those chosen were some from Judah, Daniel. If it was just Daniel, I'm betting $1,000 that his story wouldn't have ended as miraculously as it did. Because for him, there was no fulfillment of the becoming of God's purpose in his life until he had a place to belong. And so as I encourage you to grow in owning your own growth, I'm wondering a couple things about this word belong. I'm wondering if you know who your Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are. See, you were never meant to do life alone. Never. Somebody say never. Who is your Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And I'm wondering, secondly, who's your Daniel? That is to say, who are you providing a place of safety for? It's a two-way street. You need a place of safety, and you need to provide that place of community and belonging. So who? See, these guys were in a tough place. All that they had known, the ways of the Lord were under assault, and yet together they withstood. Let me just tell you about this. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar was given. Did you know that Daniel, the very name Daniel, it meant God is my judge or God's prince? The very name Daniel honored Yahweh. Belteshazzar, this new name that was given to him, means Baal protects, Bel's prince. See, the new name that was given was even trying to undermine Daniel's faith. And this guy, who you know him as Shadrach, Hananiah, it means the mercy of Yahweh. But Shadrach means at Aku's command. Aku was a foreign pagan god. You see, in renaming him, the Babylonians were undermining their faith system and their belief structure. Mishael, it means who is like God. Meshach is who is like Aku. It's an undermining. Azariah means the one God helps. His new name, Abednego, means the servant of Nebo, another foreign pagan god. So here we have four guys whose very existence is under attack, whose very walk with the Lord is under attack, and yet we know because of the spoiler alert that they did powerful and amazing things that changed the face of planet Earth in their day because they were together. I do wonder if you ever feel like this world is assaulting your faith. I wonder if you ever felt like the things of the world, the things you see on TV, the things you encounter while you're at the store, just the things of life, is undermining your faith. You see, because Daniel had a place to belong, they could change his name, but they couldn't change his nature. Because he had a place to belong, they could change his name, but they could not change his nature. For him to grow and owning his own growth, he had to have a place of belonging. Now, sometimes God is picky in the Bible because he wants his people to be different and set apart. And one of the ways in the Old Testament in particular that God asked his people to be set apart was for them to eat different things, to do things a little differently. He didn't want them to just be like everyone else. He wanted them to be different so that, as Jesus would say in a few thousand years from this time, that they could be salt and light, that they could be different, that people would look at them and say, wow, there's something different about this person. And so God laid out some foundational rules of eating and drinking that was just different from the world around them. So the Bible tells us, as we've read, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. But Daniel, verse 8, resolved. Somebody say resolved. Say it like you mean it, resolved. He resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Now let me interrupt the reading of the scripture and just say this. There is a false belief that the ways of the world are better than the ways of God. There's a thinking out there because the ways of the world are kind of logical and you can understand them. And let's just be honest, sometimes the ways of God seem stupid. Am I allowed to say that? I mean, sometimes the ways of the Lord is just confusing and it doesn't make sense. And so the ways of the world often seems to make more sense. And there's a false belief that we see right here that the ways of the world seem to be better than the ways of God. So Daniel says, hang on, give us a 10-day trial. Give us 10 days, money-back guarantee. At the end of 10 days, if we're not looking better, you can throw us on the food that the king has given us. In the meantime, give us a 10-day trial where we eat nothing but fruits and vegetables and we'll drink water and Mountain Dew. 10-day trial. Back to the scriptures, verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, well, I wonder what happens at the end of the 10 days. Are God's ways better? Or are the world's ways better? At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Walking in God's ways always pays off. I'm going to say it again. Walking in God's ways always pays off. You see, the reason they were able to resolve not to defile themselves is because they had a place of belonging, and in the resolving was nothing more than living out what they believed. Their belief for them was not simply lip service. The belief for them was faith in action. Hebrew people, like Daniel, had a word for no or belief. The word was yada. Any Seinfeld fans in here? Anybody? Okay, there's a couple. What did he always say? Yada, yada, yada. You remember that? You know Seinfeld is a Jewish guy? And the word yada is a Jewish word that means I know. Or to believe. And so when Seinfeld said yada, 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 he's like, I know, I know, I know. Parents, have you ever heard something similar coming out of your children's mouth? I know, I know, I know. Yada, yada, yada. The Hebrew word yada, it's the word for to know or to believe, but it's also the word for to do. Because Hebrew people didn't separate belief from action like us Americans do. We say we believe something, but our actions prove otherwise. For Hebrew people, to believe something is to do something. And so this dude believed that God's ways are better, and his faith was way more than lip service. And I'm wondering about ours. I'm wondering about ours. As we grow in the journey of seed, root, tree, I'm wondering if we happily give lip service, but we walk away from the Hebrew word yada, where we can believe without doing. His belief was risky, and his belief came out of his belonging. He had the three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even though the world was against them, together the four stood strong, and in the belonging, they could believe in a way that put their faith in action. We want you to grow in owning your own growth. We want you to get to a place in your belonging that you believe in such a way that your faith leads you to action. Out of your intimacy. We don't want you just to do things for God without knowing God, but we want you to belong so that you can believe. And so about 2 years ago, we developed a tool called the Grow Tool. It's an online tool that many of you have taken. It's an assessment tool that helps you just discern where you're at in the journey. It's a self-assessment. You might rate yourself a seed. I might rate you as a tree. It doesn't matter. And not only is it an assessment tool, it's a discipleship tool, because once you take that online grow tool, go to the website, theriver.info, once you take it, it gives you a specific plan for growth so that you can resolve to own your own growth. You know, if I take it and you take it, we're going to need different things to grow, so we're going to get a different plan from this online tool. And so we want you to own your own growth so that your belonging can lead to your believing. And so what Rod did, he's our pastor of discipleship, is he's worked wonderfully to take some of the content from our online survey and discipleship tool, and he's put it in a grow journal. And we have these available at cost. There's only like $3.57 to make them, so just go to the website, and once you get to the grow tool, there's a link right there where you can buy these. But I have 5 of them right now. I'm wondering who wants to own table. Come on forward. I'm not going to throw it that far. I'd probably kill somebody. I am going to, heads up, it's coming for you. Bad throw, not close at all. Who wants one? Right there, right there. Oh man, he got up for it. You can come and get it. Nice hands. Tammy, we want your faith to grow out of belonging to believing where your faith is put into action. Now, I gave you the spoiler alert. Let's get to it. Verse 17, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. He got to a place where he became what God intended him to be. Out of his belonging and his believing, he became impactful. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king. The king talked to them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. The becoming followed the belief, which followed the belonging. Become. These dudes were impactful beyond measure. And their story wasn't meant to be an exception. Their story was meant to be an example. They became because that was God's plan. In their faith journey, the becoming came out of their belief, which came out of their belonging. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to enter into worship now. So everybody get your worship self on. And while we worship, we're going to do a little baptisms. And here's how we do the baptisms here. This is for believers who have yet to be baptized or you know, want to confess a faith in the one who loves them. You're going to come up here and meet an elder. Elders, you can make your way on forward right now. The elders are, it's a biblical term for those who kind of lead the church in the direction, spiritual vision, all that of the church. They're going to come forward. You're going to come up and talk to an elder real quick. They're going to take a little information, hopefully, if we can find those cards. If not, we'll get it later. And then they're going to very liberal, guys. Just don't skip. In fact, if you want to grab them by the back of the head, just dump them. We can do that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're going to be baptized. Because maybe today, for some of you, is the day that you become. Because you've believed. Because you belong. So, our elders are actually going to head in the back. It's going to be easier to hear. If you want to get baptized, go back there. They'll be with you. They'll meet with you. Then they'll come up forward. And while we're worshiping and they're interviewing folks, the rest of you, keep your eye open, because when somebody gets baptized today, when they enter into that journey of belong, believe, become, you're going to celebrate like something awesome has happened, because something awesome has happened. That's what we're going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go get Barkley, and Barkley's going to worship right over there. And if you're a kid of any age, you can come and worship with Barkley.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.